your hour of quasi-cerebral.
Speak up. You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Haukamalum and Squamish speaking peoples. Hello and good morning, everybody. Welcome to Speak Up on this wonderful Thursday morning here at 10 a.m. I am Rebecca and I will be your host for the next hour. I am the public affairs intern here at CJSF 90.1 FM. And I'm here to give you all the up-to-date campaign highlights for the upcoming provincial election here in BC. So today I have a discussion for you all with Ren from the Student NDP Club here at SFU. And we discuss the importance of students voting not only in this election, but all elections and on a global scale. And I will also be going through the main party's stances on what has been classed as the top issues for voters one last time before the final voting day, which is this Saturday, October 19th. And I also have some content for you from our community journalist here at the station, Danny, on community issues here in BC. But before we get into all of that, I'm going to start with some local music. So we have the song Night Drive by the Vancouver artist Carson Hoy. It's a synth indie pop track and it's off of his album Enigmatic.
I knew I would be so left out. I'm cold, it would be
And that was the song Night Drive by the Vancouver-based artist Carson Hoy off of his album Enigmatic. And now we have some content from our community journalist Danny on the BC NDP's plans for free transit for seniors in the non-peak hours.
On October 11th, 2024, the BC NDP held a community roundtable where BC NDP candidate for Surrey Guildford, Gary Begg, and the BC NDP candidate for Surrey Panorama, Ginny Sims, spoke with seniors within the community about the BC NDP's plan for free transit for seniors during non-peak hours of usage. CJSF attended this event and recorded key moments from the roundtable where Gary Begg, Ginny Sims, and members of the community were able to voice their support as well as the promised benefits of this policy. First to speak on this was NDP candidate Gary Begg.
Especially those who don't drive, it can be challenging to get to appointments or even to drive to the grocery store. And the costs of public transit add up when you're living on a fixed income. Especially, it rings true that it's much more expensive. For years, John Rustad and the BC Conservatives halted new transit projects while letting car insurance prices shoot up. They hurt our elderly citizens. And Rustad's current plan is much of the same, offering tax breaks for the top 2%, which means curbs to curb other support for seniors. But we in the BC NDP are taking action. We're offering free public transit for seniors. This takes cars off our roads, reducing traffic and helping our seniors with their costs.
Next, BC NDP candidate Ginny Sims expressed her thoughts on the policy as well as the benefits that it would provide for seniors.
Thank you very much, Gary, and this is such an exciting announcement. And I'm so happy that we have these amazing people on either side of us because they have been advocating for this for a very, very long time. This is going to make a huge difference for so many seniors. Look, it means a difference of $500 a year. And for a senior, that is not a small amount. But it means far more than the money they're going to save. It means they can leave the house, they can go out and visit their grandkids, they can go to the local park, they can go to the grocery shop without being dependent on anyone else. And you know something else? It will be good for their mental health and good for their overall health.
Later on in the roundtable, a member of the community, Lambert Sidhu, who had been a longtime advocate for this policy, spoke of his support for the BC NDP's proposed plan.
When trying with the previous government, they declined. Then when our government came in, we said, let's have a try again. So we are successful, thanks to David Eby and thanks to the NDP team. And I'm so thankful. We must elect a NDP government so they get a privilege. That's a privilege we got, so we can get it. Thank you so much.
Lastly, Begg and Sims took questions from community members as well as media members who were present for the event. One question that was posed asked why the NDP decided on going forward with this policy after 7 years in government, as well as comparing the proposed plan with that of the BC Greens. This was Ginny Sims' response.
So you have announced free public transit for the seniors, but BC Green Party has already announced the same and they are giving it for all the public transit free. Why it took so much time for you to implement this strategy, because you are already in the government for the 7 years?
Thank you very much. When we became government, we had a huge deficit left behind by 16 long years of a Liberal government that failed to invest in people and in infrastructure. We have been working on this. We started with free bus passes for those who are under 12. Now we are going to go to our seniors, and most of our students who are at university, they do get their bus passes through their organizations.
Is it possible to give the free passes to all the British Columbians?
Let me tell you this. We are making a commitment that we can deliver. We are not making a commitment that is way out in the air that may not be possible to deliver.
So that was the BCNDP's plans for free transit for seniors in non-peak hours. And now we have a discussion that Danny had with the organizing coordinator for the South Asian diasporas.
One, this is Danny, your community radio journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Last week, on October 9th, 2024, CJSF was able to sit down and have an interview with the organizing coordinator of the Climate Roundtable for South Asian Diasporas. This organization is a grassroots group of community members from all South Asian diasporas interested in exploring the climate crisis through their own histories and stories, drawing from revolutionary movements in their homelands to take action on the climate crisis. This interview took place at the Surrey City Center Library, where the organization was holding a community roundtable event where members of the community could come and discuss and learn more about the upcoming election and their local candidates, as well as how to engage these candidates on issues that mattered most to them. The rationale and impact of this event was discussed further during the interview. Please take a listen. Hi, everyone. This is Danny Yore, community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, and I am here with Dinjot, the organizing coordinator for the Climate Roundtable for South Asian Diaspora, correct?
Yes. Hi, Danny. Thank you for having me today.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be out here talking to the community.
Of course. And can you give a bit of an overview of your organization for those that may be unfamiliar with it?
Yeah, so we are the Climate Roundtable for South Asian Diasporas. We are a space for all South Asians based in the Lower Mainland to connect about climate and related issues, learn from each other, build power together, and take actions on these critical issues.
Awesome. Now, your organization centers around issues regarding climate change and how they have a negative impact that is unique to South Asian diasporas, correct?
Yes, that's right. Our goal is to uplift our community and help them become leaders in the climate change movement. Many of the diaspora communities face devastating impacts in their motherlands and the global south. At the same time, our home countries are often the least responsible for climate change, so it's a huge injustice that the world's poorest communities face the worst climate impacts.
Now, could you speak more to the ways in which the collective histories of these communities and past revolutionary movements help inform the work that you do? I saw that there was some language surrounding that on your website.
Yeah, South Asians have been part of climate movements for centuries. We have a very rich history in climate organizing and just in general caring for nature. For example, in the 1970s, Indian women led the first tree-hugging movement called the Chipko Movement, where women literally tied themselves to the trees to prevent them from government-led logging. So in Canada, we definitely have a climate movement, but we find it doesn't necessarily speak to the South Asian experience, which is why we decided to create a space where we could bring stories about the motherland and relate to the climate movement in a unique way.
Now, the roundtable that you're doing here at the City Center location for the Surrey Library, what would you say the purpose of it is overall?
The purpose is basically to garner support from the community and increase our capacity for the roundtable and show up in spaces where we're often not seen, have our voices heard.
Okay. And how has the response been to that?
Yeah, the response has been extremely positive. We've garnered support from various organizations, including South Asian-led orgs and even local environmental nonprofits.
Amazing. And, you know, considering the purpose of the roundtable,
What are some ways that people, specifically people concerned with climate action and people within South Asian diasporas, how can they engage with their local candidates when it comes to these issues?
Yeah, to start, folks can learn about their local candidates by reading their profiles that may be covered by local newspapers. So for example, here in Surrey, Peace Arch News has published an in-depth analysis about each candidate, and community members can also attend local town halls and candidate debates. They can arrive with any prepared questions that they have and ask them at these events. Folks can also attend any party-related events and ask their questions there. It's also important to remember that community members can reach out to their MLA after the election and set up a meeting with them.
That's a really good response. Yeah, I think that's something that is missing when it comes to a lot of dialogue with electoral politics is that, yeah, once, you know, an MLA is elected, it's important to have that communication with them. It's important to hold them accountable, you know, not just during election cycles. So that's really nice to hear.
Yeah, exactly. And there's always questions and accountability that needs to be addressed after the election.
Of course. Now, with the current goals of the organization, how do you hope to grow?
So we're hoping to expand our roundtable to include even more voices and folks with different experiences and backgrounds. So right now we're really focused on recruitment, and we plan to host more tabling sessions to have our organization officially out into the world. So if you're interested in joining us, you can reach out to us by email at climateroundtable.sa@gmail.com.
Well, thank you so much for your time. This was a great conversation. Hopefully, it teaches a lot of people about what your organization represents and gets more participation as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Once again, you can learn more about the Climate Roundtable for South Asian Diasporas on their Instagram at climateroundtable.sa via email, which is climateroundtable.sa@gmail.com. as well as their website, diasporaclimate.org. Once again, thank you all so much for tuning in to this interview, as well as for your continued support of Speak Up and local journalism.
So that was Danny sitting down with the organizing coordinator for the South Asian diasporas. And coming up now, I have a discussion that I did with a student here at SFU called Ren, talking about the importance of student voting, as she is a member of the student NDP club here at SFU. But we were discussing from the point of view that neither one of us can vote despite living here.
Hello and welcome everybody. I am Rebecca, the public affairs intern here at CJSF 90.1 FM Campus and Community Radio here at Simon Fraser University. And I'm joined today by
Kyron. Yeah, my name is Kyron Velasquez. You could just call me Kyron or Ren. And I'm here to speak about politics.
Yeah, we're going to have a discussion on BC politics and the upcoming BC election. Neither one of us can actually vote.
Yep.
But it's quite interesting just to discuss it. Ren here is with the SFU NDP club mm-hmm. on campus. I've sort of just had an interest in the politics and seeing how it compares to back home.
It is interesting. Yeah.
So yeah, and talking a bit about the significance in the student vote, because I think it's kind of a global issue with mm-hmm. a lack of student voting.
Definitely, yes.
And it's ultimately you're voting for something that's going to be affecting your future.
Yeah.
So I think we should just get like right into it.
Of course.
So what do you think are the main issues that will impact SFU students?
So a lot of the issues that impact students here at SFU, not even SFU, just kind of around the province, is firstly the rising costs of living, affordability, BC is a really expensive place to live, especially in the mainland. And so trying to juggle between work, school, renting, even eating, like you have to be ready for anything. And so it's really difficult to just kind of focus on school without focusing on work and renting and like figuring out if you're gonna have enough paycheck to eat out with your friends and stuff. And so that's kind of one of the big things that SFU students have been dealing with, or just students in general, affordability, but also job security, especially after they graduate. It's really difficult now. The job marketplace is scarce. It's bad. A lot of industries are falling out. A lot of industries only work through connections. And so trying to get an entry-level job with a degree that you worked hard for like
that you paid a lot for,
it's difficult. It's really difficult. And I hear like so many horror stories of not really horror stories, but just reality, where they graduated like in 2019, but they haven't had a job since. And so they've just been trying to, you know, get like gigs and stuff, trying to freelance as much as they can. And even students are now thinking like, maybe I shouldn't graduate. Maybe I should stay in school, try to see if I could prolong this degree, because after they graduate, the chance of having a good job and being able to afford everything is really low. And so those are kind of the issues that are impacting students.
And I think as well, you get into a sort of bad cycle of being like a never-ending student, because you're just like, you get to the master's, go to the PhD, you keep going and just like putting off what is already probably going to just get worse, and finding a job as well. So do you feel like the parties and the candidates that are up for the provincial election here are addressing these issues specifically for students enough?
I might be a bit biased here. I am affiliated with SFU-NDP, but they do tackle affordability issues and housing issues. Like conservatives are tackling housing in a really different way, whereas the NDP, BC NDP in particular, is tackling housing more so on creating more houses for SFU students. And I think, I want to say a couple of months ago, they even announced that they're going to be building new housing here in SFU campus.
Oh, okay.
I think it was promoted by the BC NDP. And so I can't really speak much on the conservative side, but they are tackling issues in the best way that they can, but it might not be enough. It might not be enough.
Yeah, because there's, from what I read of the platforms and the campaigning so far, it's been very hard to actually hear stuff targeted towards students. It's sort of like there's a housing crisis overall, which there is. But it's like when you're looking specifically at students and you're wanting to get young people to vote and you're wanting to engage them, you're wanting to target their issues specifically.
And like they're the new generation, right? Like these kids, they're smart, bright people. Like they're in their early 20s, late 20s. They're still young, nonetheless. They have so much potential, but all the potential is going on to just trying to live paycheck by paycheck. A lot of these kids are not... I'm acting like I'm not a student adult. No, but I'm privileged enough that my parents are able to fund my education, but it's still, I still have to work for, you know, my own like expenses, right? And so it's, and for other students, they don't have that. They're highly dependent on grants, scholarships, and so they're working, they're working really hard to do well in class, but also work so that they have food on their table by the next day. And so these concerns, these issues are not really being talked about because there are no spaces created for them to talk about these issues. Like, and so I think the reason why there's so much discouragement of students going out to vote is because they're not being heard enough. There are no spaces created for them to be heard. And I think that's one of the, having a bridge to gap that might be a solution. Mm. Yeah.
What would be like an example of a bridge of this? Like, what kind of ideas would you think would help give like youth a space to have their concerns heard on like the big provincial party platforms?
Yeah. So again, I'm going back to SFUNDP, but one of the ways our aims of our club is to directly bridge that gap.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to invite politicians, BC candidates, BC provincial candidates who are running for election, to come to school, have a chat with our members, and we tell our members, okay, you have this opportunity, voice out your concerns, hold them accountable onto what their policies are, and then maybe that can be a gateway for these politicians to be like, okay, maybe we can change our platforms. I think we have to change our policies, because this is not doable for these students,
mm-hmm.
especially if these students are like in their riding, right?
Yeah.
And so I think having spaces like that in universities or even in community centers where youth and BC politicians could get together, have a seat, chat, and just have a fruitful and productive conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I don't know what it's like over here, but back home we have sort of, it's like a young voters thing where they get like young people into kind of the wannabe politicians, mm-hmm. get involved in politics young, like before you're eligible to vote. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, I think it's called like young voters or something, but you kind of create your own young person's government.
Ooh.
Like quoting that word government, because you're not actually government, but it gets you at a young age learning about the political system and getting engaged with it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Type of thing, as well as like trying to promote young voting when they are eligible to vote. Yeah.
Wait, that's actually good.
Like, yeah, because that's like the one thing that I know of. But it's that is a great way of getting people that are young engaged. But that itself is not promoted enough either.
Okay.
So it's like I think it's like you're gonna need stuff in schools from like when you're like 13 to be like, this is voting. Like, I personally think that's what needed is like education, almost like a class.
Yeah.
On like your political system. This is how it works.
This is how your government works.
Yeah.
Definitely are. That's actually good.
Mm.
It's not being promoted enough. So people don't really...
Like, most people don't know about it. I had so many friends that we got to 18 and it was, oh, okay, you can now vote.
Mm-hmm.
What are the parties? What am I doing? How does Parliament work?
They're not educated on
it. Yeah, none of us are educated on it. It's down to you to go and find it out yourself. Yeah. And for most kids, they've got other things they want to do.
Yeah.
Which is like, most kids' dreams are not to be a politician.
True.
I mean, there are a few, but...
Very few who wants to be a president or a prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, like, the danger of like, okay, let me educate myself. What they see on social media, what they see on the internet, might not be
You get
true.
Into the fake news. And one thing that I really hate about politics, and I've noticed it here,